Please pray for me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Joseph, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So the two widows in today's reading gave everything they had. The first widow of the Book of Kings was expecting to die, as she only had enough for another meal, and then she expected to die with her son by starvation. The second widow gave everything she possessed, all she had to live on. O blessed poverty, O mother of poverty, O Our Lady, she gave her life, her everything, to be the Mother of God. She sacrificed herself for us, for her children, the children of the world, she sacrificed herself for, so we could have life. The first widow sacrificed herself for another and is therefore a type of Our Lady. A miracle occurred because of her sacrifice. Her remaining food of the jar continued to exist even after they ate. Elijah was like the Archangel Gabriel. The jar of meal shall not be spent, he said. Elijah and the jug of oil shall not be emptied. Elijah, like the Archangel Gabriel, comforted the widow with his prophecy. The Archangel Gabriel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid. You will conceive by the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. "You will remain a virgin." Both the Old Testament widow and Our Lady trusted in the providence of God, not fully aware of where this was going to lead them, but trusting in God they did. And that in itself would undoubtedly teach us the outcome of the New Testament widow. Do not be afraid to give your all to God. He will provide for you spiritual and physical needs. After all, everything belongs to him, and we are children of God, so he will care for us. Married couples, give your all to your spouse, and God will provide through you for your children. Your life, when you break God's commandments, will create a disorder in your own life. Mankind drove himself from paradise, degraded and debased by original sin. He forgot his inheritance, chose sin, became like a beast. He was meant to govern the beasts he was meant to govern. The weak are attacked by the strong as a consequence of sin. Man was a king by nature, but a king dethroned. He was to be the stewards of creation which God had given to him, to name the animals and to use them for his needs. Man was so aware of his degradation that he felt a secret need to adore creatures that would not put him to shame. One sin reversed the order of God's commands, and honour to God went asunder. Now God knew this unbearable shame man would feel, to be called directly into his presence. So God would find a way to rehabilitate man, to restore his honour. But man needed to trust in God no matter what. This trust is shown to us today to show us that those willing to offer themselves out of charity, their all for mankind, will be reinstated to the glory they were made for, to give glory to God, because they will be given the eternal homeland, to be heirs in the kingdom of heaven. Because marriage was defamed by contraception, an unnatural act, the spouses become lower than beasts. Animals don't behave in that way. And eventual other acts then follow. Bestial acts, sins, unnatural sins, behaviour that animals do not commit, has now entered and been proclaimed a right for man and for woman. Today's institutions want same-sex marriage because of the muddled understanding of love. Today we have people marrying objects. A woman recently married the Eiffel Tower. Another woman married her boyfriend who was buried 2 years ago. Another married their pet dog. All unnatural. Today I am asking you to keep God's laws. Today I am asking you to keep the precepts of the church, which I will now call to you. The first precept is to attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. By not fulfilling these precepts of the church, disorder will come into your life and you'll fall into serious sin. To confess your sins at least once a year. Receive Holy Communion in the state of grace at least once during the Easter season. Observe the days of fast and abstinence, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, established by the church. Help provide for the needs of the church. That's what the widow was doing by giving all that she had. Though it was meagre, God saw the heart. That generosity of heart is what he looks for. And also the other precept of the church is to be married in the Catholic Church. Now the corporal works of mercy are to feed the hungry, which is what the widow at Zidon had done. Have I possibly provided food, time, and even finance to charities and to those people in need, those who are seemingly a curse to us, but really a Christ calling for us to give forth a virtuous act? Do we give drink to the thirsty? Have I been sensitive to the needs of others? To clothe the naked, have I passed on unusable items such as clothes to those in need? Do I keep more clothes for myself than I really need? Do I have that special wardrobe of sentimentalities? To visit the imprisoned, have I visited, written, or even offered help to any other person or practical way to a prison apostolate when the occasion arose? Do you shelter the homeless? Have I been open to adopting a child or caring for a foster child, offering financial assistance to crisis centres when the possibility of need arises? Do I visit the sick? Have I visited, written, reached out, prayed for, provided the opportunities for the sacraments to be administered, and supported and cared for the sick when the possibility and need arose? With the burying of the dead in this month of November, have I prayed for the deceased and comforted and reached out to those in mourning, visited the cemetery when the opportunity arose to pray for the dead so that they may be released from their sins? And then the spiritual works of mercy, to correct the sinner. Have I accepted or encouraged the sins of others, be it in our children, parents, friends, or associates? To instruct the ignorant, do I know the true faith and try to improve my knowledge in the faith? Have I respectively tried to pass on the true faith and devotion to others? Do I lead by example? Have I defended the faith? To counsel the doubtful, have I made myself available to answer questions when asked? Have I helped educate people when the opportunity arose? To comfort the sorrowful, have I listened, comforted, and helped those who are sad whenever possible? To bear wrongs patiently, do I pray for the virtue of patience? Have I prayed for the one who has hurt me? To forgive all injuries, do I try to forgive? Do I hold grudges? To pray for the living and for the dead, do I pray for my living and deceased family, relatives, friends, and associates? So we all need to be moved with that quick, though it was not intended to be an examination of conscience. It is the spiritual and corporal works of mercy which I've just written and spoken to you about. Examine yourself and make it an opportunity to make your prayers more efficacious, more fruitful, by going to confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.